Welcome to another episode of In the Pen, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. I'm your host, Callan Elslinger, joined as always by my co-host, Pitcherless own bullpen expert, Rick Graham. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Had a nice long weekend, and, you know, excited to see my Celtics make it to the NBA Finals and your Rangers move on. So, you know, it's good for both of us there.
Things been good, and I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Thank you to all who have served and continue to serve our country. We always are grateful and appreciate that, and what we take today, among with all other days, to appreciate that. But we also are joined today by another guest. Two straight weeks where we've had a guest, Pitcherless own Jake Crumpler is joining us. Jake, how you doing? Thank you for coming on the show.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Excited to be on my first Pitcherless podcast.
Yeah, and since this is your inaugural Pitcherless podcast, why don't you plug your work, plug what you're working on, give us your Twitter, where can our listeners follow you and get to know you a little better?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler, with a Crumpler spelled with a C. I write for two other websites, theathleteshub.org. I do a weekly top fantasy performers every week over there. And then I just got hired at Baseball HQ. We'll be doing fantasy analysis for them as well. I do a podcast for the Athletes Hub. And I write the reliever ranks every Tuesday night for Pitcherlist.
And just like we did last week, please make sure you take a look at these articles. Make sure you look at these ranks. It's a daily resource as to what's going on in these bullpens. We can only record the show once a week. Just, you know, it's all that Nick will allow us to do. I know Rick can sit in front of a microphone and talk about relievers every single day if he got the platform to, but that's all that Nick allows us to do. But, you know, every day we'll have a new article out giving you what's going on with these pens to continue to update with you. So with that, we're going to get into how we normally start off these shows. With three up, three down, we're going to take a look at Rick's closer ranks and some people who are rising. So we'll start with three up. Who has been rising in your ranks these past few weeks? This past week,
I think the biggest one, it's not technically a riser, but someone who's, I think we can make the call on, is now the closer in St. Louis, and that's Ryan Helsley, it looks like, with the recent usage there, and Giovanni Gallegos picking up his first hold of the season yesterday. It's kind of a weird situation, I feel, because Gallegos hasn't pitched all that bad to the point where I don't know if it's deserved that he loses the job, but I mean, it's hard to argue how well Helsley has been pitching. So it's definitely looking like that's the situation for now. I'm still not, you know, dropping Gallegos anywhere, but that situation kind of made me move Joan Duran up a little bit as well, because I think that, you know, just based on the pure stuff and the kind of the whole closer landscape right now, and not knowing, you know, there's a lot of committee situations. I feel like Duran kind of belongs in that grouping with Helsley and Clay Holmes right now, where these guys are elite relievers. Maybe they're not closing every day, but they're going to get you strikeouts. They're going to not destroy your ratios. And, you know, that counts for something, even if they're only getting a save a week, which, you know, still makes them a solid number 2-3 closer for your fantasy teams.
Yeah, and we're going to take a deeper look into that Cardinals bullpen part of today's show. We're going to be looking at Jake's article from the beginning of the season, just looking at some dark horse relievers, highlight some hits, highlight some misses, and some guys that were mentioned in this article that are worth monitoring as we move forward. But Jake, do you have a different read as to Duran or Helsley? Do you believe that these guys are worth rising up, or do you think this is going to be so have they pulled ahead in the pack, or are they still in more of a 50-50?
I think they're definitely both in 50-50 situations. Helsley has not been used on back-to-back days all season, so I think they're wary of his workload, and that sort of has let him be an elite reliever all season, and that's the same with Duran, where we've seen him used more often in back-to-back days recently, especially, and so that sort of gives the confidence that he could end up being the full-time closer, but I think the Twins will still be wary of using him too much, and we'll let him split time with Pagan, but both of them are elite relievers, definitely striking out guys like crazy, have insane stuff. Both of those guys top out over 100 miles per hour. So I think they're definitely guys you want in pretty much every league, even if you're not counting holds, because they will be getting some saves, which are always hard to come by, but they both also will just improve your ratios and rack up the strikeouts like crazy.
In a vacuum, I'm sure they're probably rostered in most leagues, but if there's some reason available on your waiver wire, who would you rather have, Helsley or Duran? And this goes to both of you.
I think I'd have to go with Duran. Helsley just allowed his first earned run yesterday, but like I said, Duran is used more often while Helsley is used pretty much very sparingly, where they have another option that's really elite, but Duran is like very clearly the best option in the Twins bullpen, while Helsley, you could make an argument that he's just as good as Gallegos or just barely even better. So I think I'd side with Duran there, but they're both really good.
I have Helsley one. I have him right above Duran back to back, but I think that you just made a pretty good point that convinces me that I might need to switch those two guys because, yeah, like Duran, I'll take Giovanni Gallegos over Emilio Pagan any day. So, you know, given that competition and just giving, you know, like you said, they are being very careful with Helsley and he has had a bit of an injury history. So, yeah, I think I'm kind of leaning towards Duran now, too.
Yeah. And as people have always say, what comes up must go down. As people rise, there's going to be some fallers. So, Rick, who are some of the guys who have been following your ranking, especially now that you've had to raise Helsley and Duran?
Not a lot of drops this week, but Corey Knebel went down a few, and I won't spoil that because, like you said, we're getting into the NL Dark Horse closers later on, so we'll talk a little bit more about Philly later. But I've been kind of going back and forth with Paul Sewald, and I do like kind of the usage seems to be getting to the point where he is their favorite to close out games, or, you know, high levers work in the eighth inning. But he's gonna, if the season were to continue with the Mariners bullpen being what it is today, Sewald would probably be the favorite for saves, to lead the team in saves. But he hasn't been quite as effective as he was last year. Not getting the same amount of swings and misses. He's definitely, you know, not going to get to 100 plus strikeouts again. And then there's, you know, Ken Giles just started his rehab. I know we don't know what that's going to turn out to be, but it might make sense. I mean, he's still there. Diego Castillo's looking, I want to say, I'm hoping he's going to turn things around and figure it out here. So there's competition there, and I just don't know if Sewald's worth it like he was last year when he was kind of in a timeshare.
And Jake, what's your read on this Seattle pen, especially with Drew Steckenrider being optioned within the past week? Is it still, who's your favorite for saves? Do you still believe in Sewald? Like, or are you kind of hesitating now like Rick is?
Mm-hmm. I think you sort of have to believe in Sewald. They have tons of elite options out there with, like you mentioned, Castillo and Ken Giles coming back soon. But I mean, if you look at Castillo's numbers, what, he's still got an ERA north of six or something. And Sewald has not been bad, especially compared to last season. He's definitely been lucky. I think he's got like a sub 200 BABIP, which is definitely going to turn around the other way. But he's been really good still. Like I said, not as elite as last year, but I think I would have to side with him. It's definitely sort of like a Rays situation where they have so many good relievers, especially guys with experience like Giles and Castillo, that it makes it sort of hard to side with Sewald. But yeah, I think I'm going with Paul there as well.
So we're going to move on to some of the news and notes. There's not as many injuries to get into, which is nice. And since we're going to get into these National League pens, what I want to do in this section is just do a real quick look at some of the confusing American League pens, the ones that we've kind of been going back and forth with all season, see if Jake can give us a little bit more insight into that. And we'll start, for Rick's sake, with the Boston Red Sox. Hansel Robles was placed on the IL over the past week, so maybe there's one guy left in the pen. Rick, we'll start with you since this is your team. What's your current read out in Boston? Is it Matt Barnes still?
No. It's, do we really have to talk about, oh my God. Okay. So yeah, I'm about to give up on this situation. I was thinking, I was looking at Matt Barnes and his velocity started to get better. I was like, okay, maybe he can, you know, get back to what we saw the first half of last year. But then he goes out and walks four guys in one game. There's no confidence in him. There's no confidence from the team in him. It doesn't look like he's going to take over that job anytime soon. I don't know what else is there. Matt Strom didn't look good this weekend. Robles is back on the IL. I guess it's John Schreiber. I guess he's the best option right now, and that's saying something.
At least you have Cincinnati to get things back on track. Oh wait, they're losing right now. Oh, never mind. Jake, do you have any other insight in this Boston Penn? I know this is generally Rick's domain, but what's your current read on what Boston's Penn? Is there a reliever you even want to roster out in Boston?
No, I was thinking about which teams I like most don't want to roster a reliever from that team. And I think right now it's definitely the Red Sox. It's like, no matter who they choose, it's not going well. I think the best option right now is probably Jake Diekman, just because he has the most experience in the role and he's striking out more than 30% of batters and his ERA is south of four, which is good. But I have to echo Rick's sentiments that Barnes has just been, I drafted him in my home league, just because I missed out on so many closers in the draft, and I had to drop him so fast. He just like never came around. And every time it looks like he's starting to turn a corner, he just starts being terrible again. So it's been really difficult in that Red Sox bullpen, and they really just like keep losing guys to the IL or ineffectiveness. So I would stay as far away from that as you can. But if you really want to roster someone, I'd go with Diekman, even though he still only has one save.
Well, we go from one confusing situation to one that I didn't know could be more confusing, but Tampa Bay was one last week where we kind of threw seven or eight different names at you to see who might emerge. We might finally have someone who is emerging. Jake, what's your current read on what Tampa Bay is throwing at you this past week?
I mean, they're pulling a classic Rays, as they're bound to do, as the Rays themselves. They just cannot decide on a closer, and that's probably a good baseball decision, but it's a terrible fantasy decision. I love to see Fire Rising lock down a save a couple days ago. Very cool, especially for my TGFBI team. And he's still yet to allow a single run on the season. He's one of just a couple guys. I think it's like him and Yarlene Garcia right now, the only guys who have yet to allow a run. But yeah, JP Fireison has been very interesting. We've seen Pache come up and throw a couple saves on the board as well across the last week. So that's pretty interesting. But I think the guy to roster in this bullpen is Fireison. He's just been completely dominant all year, striking out more than 30% of batters, not allowing any runs, like I mentioned. And I think he's been really appealing to have on a fantasy team throughout the season.
Rick, what says you out in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I'm in the same. I just picked up. I last night picked up Fire Eisen in our staff league, hoping that. I mean, I know we're not going. He's not going to get three saves a week, but you know, if he gets a save and you know those strikeouts and isn't allowing runs, then I'll take my chances there. Especially when I need help at the pitching spot right now. So, yeah, it's the Rays are going to ray. They're going to use a bunch of different. Brooks Raley's kind of fallen out of the picture, but the new lefty, Colin Poche, who's looked pretty good, you know, in his first year back from Tommy John. I guess he's like their lefty of choice in the ninth inning now. And Fire Eisen's going to be an option. I think I can't believe what Jason Adams is doing this year. This like bunch of teams have kind of just, left him like he's a journeyman reliever and, 30 years old who's 99th percentile on pretty much every baseball savant category right now. And I'm sure he'll end up getting a couple saves. He's already got one on the year. He'll definitely keep factoring in. So they just keep churning out, stud relievers, and doesn't matter who's closing or not. They just find a way to make it work.
You can never doubt Tampa Bay. It pains me as a Yankee fan. I'm sure you feel the same way as a Red Sox fan. They just find these guys that everyone doubts and they turn them into insane relievers. So you just know someone's gonna emerge, but it's nice to see, like you said, Poche's kind of gotten a few saves. Fire Eisen's been extremely dominant. He was very tough to hit this past series against the Yankees. So we'll continue to monitor it, but it's at least nice that it's gone from a 7 or 8 person committee to a normal 2 or 3 person committee. So it's at least progress. We're making progress. The final reliever that I want to address here in the news and notes, and it's just more finding out where you're panicking on this guy. And it's Danny Jimenez. He struggled his last outing for Oakland in his last inning and 2/3 of work. He gave 4 runs against Texas. He's kind of taken the job and ran with it over Lou Trevino. Rick, do you have any concern over his past performance? Do you think Trevino or someone else enters back in this conversation, or does Jimenez have this job as secure as you can in Oakland?
I'm not concerned yet. I'm going to give him a little bit of time here. I have overall concerns about how long he's going to be able to keep things going, especially with how his fastball is just very hittable, and he really needs to lean on his slider. And if he's not able to command his slider, then, you know, he can run into trouble. And that's always something that with, you know, you love to see in your late inning, you know, your closer to be able to have a dominating fastball when need be. So a little concerned, but I'm not concerned with like Trevino taking over. I feel like that ship has sailed, but I could be wrong. But yeah, I'm going to give Jimenez a couple weeks before.
Jake, are you on the same page, or is there anybody else in Oakland worth monitoring, or is it just Jimenez and then just that's about it?
Yeah, as an A's fan, I've loved to see Jimenez take off, especially while Trevino was on the IL. I think a lot of people thought that he would lose the role when Trevino got back, but Trevino blew up right away, and it was really great to see Jimenez hold on to that role, especially for people that have him on their fantasy rosters. But there's not much else to look for here in this bullpen. I think the one guy to keep an eye out for is AJ Puck, who's been was a dominant starting pitching prospect when he was coming up through the minors, but he really struggled to stay healthy, and he's been able to stay healthy in a bullpen role, but he's not striking out a ton of batters. He's got a sub 1.4 ERA, which is really good, but they don't have many lefties in that bullpen. It's like him and Sam Moll and maybe somebody else that I can't think of right now, but they don't really have too many lefties. So I would think that they wouldn't want to use him in the closer's role, but I think that just leaves Jimenez there as the closer. And he's probably going to have a long leash and probably won't have too many opportunities going forward, as the A's really don't have a great team to put it lightly.
Yeah. That's about as nice as you can be about Oakland. It's not a good team, but we know we need saves. We need to find them somewhere. So it's nice that Jimenez has worked out. I'm kind of on the same page. I'm not too concerned. I would love to see Puck take over, because we've been all waiting for AJ Puck to be someone you can roster in fantasy. It's just how much hype he got as a prospect. So if it does fall, if Jimenez does lose it, I would hope it would be to go to Puck rather than go back to Trevino. But we'll see. It's worth monitoring. But like you said, how many saves are you actually going to be able to get in Oakland? But that's going to wrap us up for the news and notes with these American League pens. There are obviously some developments in National League pens, but like we said, we're going to dive into those pens after this brief break. When we get back, we'll look into these NL pens and some dark horse candidates if you're looking for deep league saves, holds, just guys that are worth monitoring that Jake mentioned early in the season. We'll be right back on in the Pen Podcast. And we're back here on the In the Pen Podcast. I am Callan, joined with Rick and Jake. We're going to dive into the National League bullpens and some dark horse names to worth monitoring. We're not going to get through all 15 teams. It's more of a shorter show. So we're going to look at 6-7 sort of teams that have piqued our interest, some guys that are worth monitoring. And we'll start off with the Los Angeles Dodgers. We know they have the secured closer of Craig Kimbrell. We've all thought of those. Once he got traded there, he's good, he's secure, he's worth monitoring. But at the beginning of the season, you had your dark horse candidate in LA, and it's worth discussing. So, Jake, who are you keeping your eye on in this Dodger pen as a dark horse candidate to maybe take over for Kimbrell at some point?
I still think it's the same guy that I had prior to the season starting. That's Brusdar Gratterall. I think he's clearly the closer of the future, especially just based on his stuff. Throwing like 100 mile per hour sinkers is something that you don't really see that often. And I think he's got the stuff. The thing is, he just doesn't strike out batters like you would expect somebody that throws as hard as he does to strike out. But I think at some point he could take over the closer role, especially if Kimbrel goes down. I think right now it'd be Hudson would be the next man up, Daniel Hudson, but Gratterall's really got the stuff. He induces a lot of soft contact. He gets a lot of ground balls, but like I said, he doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, and that sort of is not concerning, but definitely weird to see from a guy that throws 100 mile sinkers. I don't think Kimbrel is at risk of losing the job anytime soon. I mean, he has given up runs in 5 of his last 7 appearances, and it's been against pretty not great teams. I know he didn't give up runs to the Phillies, but he gave up runs to the Diamondbacks again, and the Pirates. So not too great for Kimbrel, struggling against pretty bad teams. But I think Brusdar would be that dark horse guy to look for, just because he's got incredible stuff and has been pretty effective despite not striking out more than 20% of batters.
Rick, is Gratterall someone you're interested in, or are you at all, I guess, deep in the conversation, are you at all concerned about Craig Kimbrel losing his job, or is he just about as safe for as they come right now?
I'm starting to get a little concerned with Kimbrel. He's been very shaky. He blew another save yesterday against the Pirates, which shouldn't be blowing saves at home against the Pirates if you're the closer for the LA Dodgers right now. So yeah, the question, who would replace him? It's probably, like Jake said, probably Hudson right now. He's pitched well this year. I'll say I like Gratterall. Like, yeah, there's that weird thing where he doesn't strike people out. He just throws these 101 mile per hour sinkers and just gets a ton of ground balls, which is fine. Not ideal from a closer standpoint or someone you want to roster for fantasy if you're not getting the strikeouts, but I would feel safe with him in the role more so than, like, you know, a must add. I'll go even deeper, I guess, since we're going to go dark horse. I want to say Evan Phillips is another option in this bullpen who's pitched pretty well this year. Kind of came from out of nowhere, but so far he's been able to get a lot of swings and misses, throwing his slider 50% of the time with a 39% whiff rate. I think he could be either, if he doesn't end up in the closer roles, he's going to probably have a higher leverage role moving forward, I'd expect, in this team. So yeah, Phillips. But as far as just to clear like things up with Kimbrel, I wouldn't go ahead adding or stashing anyone yet, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on with him with his recent struggles. So if he has another bad week, then this weekend you might want to look towards, you know, adding a Daniel Hudson or an even deeper league option.
Yeah, it's extremely troubling what we're seeing from Kimbrel. Like you said, it's not something you panic about yet. You keep an eye on it, and you'd never know who might emerge with LA. I think they would want to have one secure guy. It would have been Blake Treinen, but that ship has sailed due to his injuries. So, like I said, probably would be Hudson, but these guys are worth wanting. Do you go out and, if you're in a league where you need holds, are either of these guys worth rostering in a deeper league for holds? Or
I think, I think they are. It depends on how deep the league is. I think still the top option is Hudson there. He's, you know, the primary setup man. And then, you know, Gratterall has been used late. They've kind of mixed and matched after that, and like their 6th-7th inning situation. So between Gratterall, Phillips, Vezia, those are the guys I would kind of look at after that if you're in a really deep, like really deep mixed or NL only holds league.
Yeah, so we'll transition to another team which we talked about more than at the beginning of the show, with Giovanni Gallegos issues and Ryan Helsley. That bullpen is kind of intriguing, and with it becoming more of a committee, we don't know what's going to happen up there. Jake, who's someone you're keeping an eye on outside of these two guys as someone who can maybe poke their head in and make this an even uglier mess than it already seems to be?
Yeah, those two are definitely going to be stealing most of the save opportunities throughout the year. It's I like Genesis Cabrera's stuff. He throws pretty hard from the left side, but they only have one other lefty in TJ McFarland coming out of that pen. So it's another one of those situations where you don't really expect the left-handed reliever to get the closer role just because they need him for other situations earlier in the game. But I think he could end up going in there and being like one of the closers who appears based on matchups, you know, like if there's two or three lefties coming up in the ninth, then he could be the guy that they turn to. But it's sort of hard to find somebody that's going to come out of that bullpen. They have a lot of old guys out there with older guys. I don't want to call 31-year-olds old, but Nick Whitgren, Nick Whitgren has closed in the past for the Guardians when they were not named the Guardians before. I just don't think he's that great. And they have other guys like Drew Verhagen, who they got out of Korea, and Cody Whitley and Andre Payante, I think is how it's pronounced. But those guys are more of long relief guys. So I'm not really sure. I had Jordan Hicks as the dark horse closer coming into the year. And I guess I should have had him as a dark horse rotational candidate because that's where he ended up.
Jordan Hicks kind of reminds me of what the Yankees were trying to do with Jabba Chamberlain. They don't know whether to put him as a starter, whether to put him in the pen. Like you said, he has the stuff to be a lockdown back of the bullpen guy, yet they're still trying to make him a starter. It's just at some point, I feel like they just have to accept what they have with him. And they have plenty of other good young arms. The Liberators come up and they have some other prospects. I think they can just be fine if him as a starter, but. Rick, did you have more to add? I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just instantly as a Yankee fan came to my mind.
Yeah, that's a good comp. Kind of similar to even as a Red Sox fan right now, of Garrett Whitlock and what they're trying to do there. But I think your dark horse candidate, Jordan Hicks, might be still the dark horse candidate. He's on the IL now, but it sounds like when he comes back, they're strongly considering putting him back in the bullpen. So that makes this a potential three-headed headache with Gallegos and Helsley. Now, I don't think he would just jump right back in and, you know, start getting save opportunities, but we've seen him be successful in the role before, and as long as he can stay healthy, it's, you know, it gives them another option in that bullpen, especially with Alex Reyes now out for the year.
So we'll move over to the next team that we kind of alluded to at the beginning of the show, and when taking a look at your article before the show, Jake, this might be one of my favorite calls that you've had, and it seems the most prominent right now. Who's your dark horse for the Philadelphia Phillies role, and are you concerned that Corey Knable may be losing some saves to this guy in the near future?
Yeah, I think my dark horse remains the same in Sir Anthony Dominguez. He was really good before getting injured for over the last couple of years. I think it was Tommy John surgery. His fastball velo has come down a little bit, but he's still really good, been really effective so far this year. I think he would be the highest upside guy coming out of that bullpen. The Phillies signed a bunch of veteran relievers that have experience in the closer role. I know Alvarado, I'm pretty sure he got DFA'd or something, but they still have Familia and Brad Hand back there. And I think those are guys that maybe Girardi would have more confidence in putting a guy that has been the closer before, but I'm pretty sure Dominguez was closing out games prior to his injury. So I definitely like him the most out of that group. And I think he's definitely a big dark horse in that he could sneak up there and grab it. I picked him up in my daily fantasy league for today, so I'm hoping that he swoops a save today after Knable pitched the last 2 days and really was not that great. He's been blowing a lot of stuff recently. He hasn't been striking out guys like he did when he was on the Dodgers and the Brewers, so I definitely think he's at risk. But they spent a lot of money on Knable, but I know that the Phillies have aspirations of reaching the postseason, so you really don't want to ride somebody just because of the price that you're paying them. So I love Dominguez going forward. He's just got a really good fastball and other pitches to turn to. So if you're looking for somebody with upside in a bullpen that is sort of in flux right now, I think I'd go with Dominguez.
Rick, you got anything more to add with Philadelphia? I know you kind of alluded to Knable's job not being secure. Would Dominguez be your next man up at this point?
Yeah, I think he's narrowing the gap right now, and yeah, like Jake said, he does. I mean, Dominguez does have some closing experience. His rookie year in 2018, he had 16 saves. So it wouldn't be crazy for him to, you know, just jump over Brad Hand and Familia, and especially since neither one of those two have pitched particularly, you know, great this year. So the only person I see in this bullpen is Dominguez as a real threat. And with how Knebel's been looking lately, and just, yeah, like really all year, he hasn't looked all that great. We thought maybe I was at least hoping the strikeouts would still be there that he had last year, and he had, you know, back when he was the Brewers closer, but something doesn't seem right there. So I think Dominguez should get the next chance, and hopefully we see a move happen this week.
We heard even at the beginning of the season and spring training, Joe Girardi kept mentioning how much he liked what he was seeing for Sir Anthony Dominguez. He was a name that was constantly brought up. And now Girardi's got his seat on fire. He's sitting on the hot seat right now. So he's going to have to make some sort of change. And he keeps addressing that the bullpen needs to be more consistent. There needs to be a change in the bullpen. All the signs are pointing to that sort of change. And I like what Jake did in picking up Dominguez. I may go in now in my 15-team leagues and go put in a bid for Fab to see if I can get Dominguez before the hype gets too out of control. I think it's definitely a speculative name worth adding it right now. And, you know, the Phillies are a solid team and they'll be getting plenty of save opportunities. They play team close. So I think of all the, like I said, of all the names that were mentioned in this article, it's the most relevant now. And it's probably my favorite one at this point. So I really, really like that call. So we'll move over to another bullpen that I've been trying to call for a change in the bullpen for about 3 or 4 weeks right now. And that's the Arizona Diamondbacks. Mark Melanson's still at closer, much to my chagrin and my Ian Kennedy shares chagrin, but we'll back away from that. Jake, break my heart. Tell me why Ian Kennedy's not the next man up, or someone that we shouldn't be as excited about. Is there anybody that's a dark horse candidate for the few Diamondbacks saves we may get towards the rest of the season?
Ian Kennedy is solid. I think he's definitely better than Melanson, if that makes you feel any better. Definitely strikes out a few more guys, but he's still under 18% on the strikeout rate, which is not exactly what you want. I love what Joe Mantipa is doing over there. He's got really good command on his pitches. If you look at his like pitching plot chart for his changeup, which is his third pitch, he's like always putting it down and away to righties, which is arm side for him as a lefty. I actually thought he was a righty before doing some more research on him, which I usually don't really get those wrong. So I was pretty surprised that I was like, whoa, he's a lefty. That actually makes him a little bit more interesting to me. But he's got a sinker, I think a curveball. He's pretty interesting for somebody out there, but they do seem reticent to switch from Melanson after giving him a big contract, a relatively big contract to him in the offseason. And he's a guy with a ton of saves so far in his career. So I think they don't want to go away from the two veterans over there. But what I wrote in the Dark Horse Candidates article a couple months ago was that I think one or both of those guys, Melanson and Kennedy, will be traded by the end of the trade deadline. So looking forward to August and September, I think is when you want to start jumping on the Joe Mantiply, maybe Noe Ramirez, and possibly JB Wendelken, who has sort of fallen out of cold situations even in Arizona. So I think keep your eye on Mantiply, keep your eye on Noe Ramirez, but it might be a couple more months because they might just be wanting to get those guys numbers a little better, Melanson and Kennedy, so that they can trade them off because they have quickly fallen out of the running in the NL West and don't look to be a team that's going to be buying at the deadline.
Rick, do what you've been doing this past few weeks. Try and convince Tori Lavolo to get me some Ian Kennedy love, please.
It's definitely not going to... Well, it could be Ian Kennedy, but I don't think Ian Kennedy's the option to get excited about here. I don't know if there really is one, but
yeah,
like Jake said, I think Mantiply has looked great. I think it's between him or Noe Ramirez is always kind of teased. I feel like he's always been on and off my holds list. I would like to see him be a little bit more consistent. I think he's not overpowering. He tops out around like 89, but he's, you know, mixes a sinker, slider, and I think he could be he gets swings and misses with it too. So it's more than, you know, Kennedy or Melanson. So that would be an interesting selection for them to go put in the closer role. But another name, I think Kyle Nelson. He's another lefty, a little younger. He's had a pretty decent season so far, and it's only been 15 2/3 innings, but, you know, good slider, getting swings and misses with it. And, you know, him or Mantiply, I think with both of them being on the roster, you could give at least one of those lefties a chance to close out games there.
Yeah. And I really like what Jake said as well with Kennedy and Melanson. One, if not both of them, will probably be on different rosters by the time the trade deadline comes around. And it may be slightly early to be acting upon that, but it's worth circling these names now. Get them on your watch list, so as soon as we get closer to the deadline, you can address that and try and jump on these ads before the trade happens, and, you know, try and pick your favorite. It may go into some sort of committee, but it's definitely brought up some names that are worth monitoring, especially with the inevitable change of closers and me finally deciding that maybe it's time for me to end my Ian Kennedy shares. And it wasn't anything that I was that excited about, but I thought I hit on a spec closer, which is something you want to do. But I digress. We'll go over to another one of our confusing bullpen situation. That's the Miami Marlins. Jake, Rick and I have been talking all season about who's going to come in, when's Dylan Floro going to take over, when's Anthony Bender going to get back in his conversation. It's one of those messy situations we continue to talk about, but you have a potential name from your article, or who's jumping into this conversation? Is there some sort of dark horse candidate that you think could take this job and run with it? Or do we think, give me your read on Miami and a dark horse name who may be able to enter into this?
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty hard to throw anybody else into that conversation. I think there's already so many guys. I loved Lewis Head coming into the year. He was really successful with the Rays, and the Marlins made it a priority to go out and get him in the offseason. So they obviously see something in him. He hasn't been incredibly successful this year, but I think you just want to look at how a guy's going to perform going forward. And that's a guy who could sort of enter into that conversation if really four or five guys can't figure out how to save a ball game. How many Marlins does it take to change a light bulb? But yeah, there's a lot of guys in there. I had been speculating on that bullpen in some of my fantasy leagues. I added Anthony Bass for that game where he blew up and got the loss. So that was pretty disappointing. And then I was looking at Cole Sulcer, especially after he got the save the next day. But then I think he pitched in the sixth inning or the seventh inning yesterday or something. And he came away with a loss, allowing multiple runs. So it's really not looking good for anybody out there. I mean, I could definitely see Floro just sort of falling into the job because nobody else can do it. And we saw Floro do it last year, but I don't think he's that great. So I'm looking at his stats right now. He somehow has a 3% strikeout rate. So I don't even know how that's possible. And that's through 7 1/3 innings. So not looking good for him there. And Tanner Scott as well, just walks too many guys, even though he's got really good strikeout stuff, the best among the four that they have in the back end of that bullpen. So I think definitely keep your eye on Lewis Head. I think he could come out of there just because nobody can figure out how to lock down a save over there. But it's another one of those situations where the team isn't super great. So like, you're not going to be getting like so many save opportunities that you can't really turn this situation down. It's reminiscent of the Red Sox, where it's like any guy that gets a chance can't handle it. So keep your eye on it. Don't go super hard in trying to get Sulcer or something. I think he's probably the best bet right now, but as we just saw him get a save this past week, but also we also saw him allow a couple runs, and he doesn't have like overpowering stuff. So it's definitely one to watch, but not one to like run to the waiver wire to grab whoever gets the most recent save.
And Rick, what's your current read on where this Marlin bullpen stands? Do you have a favorite you want, or do you agree with what Jake said? Or?
Kind of in the same, same boat. There's just every name here has, you know, some things to like about them. Some, and then there's reasons just kind of shy away. And I guess I'll throw in another name. And that's Stephen Okert. I feel like he might be their best reliever so far this season. Either him or Anthony Bass, but Okert's done a good job. He's got a 35.6% K rate right now and only a 25% hard hit rate. So getting Ks, limiting hard contact. He's a lefty, but they have, you know, a couple other lefties. So that, I think it could work out with him in the closer role if they, that's again, that's more dark, more of a dark horse candidate. And yeah, other than that, it might be one of these, one of their starters that they have in the minors or someone coming up and kind of just changing their role. There's always been talk about Edward Cabrera potentially being a good closer candidate, but he's in the rotation for now. So yeah, not, it's just like one big closer bike. Looking at roster or Fangraphs and roster resource right now, they have six different guys listed in their closer committee. So yeah, that's sounds about right.
Tampa Bay down in the other part of Florida where yeah. I can't remember where Miami is compared to Tampa Bay, but that's not why we're losing this podcast. But the final bullpen that we were looking to address at the dark horse, at least originally, is the Cincinnati Reds, another bullpen which we go back and forth with each and every week. Jay, can you try and bring us a little more clarity on what Cincinnati's doing? Do you have a dark horse that's kind of entering in this conversation with Warren and Diaz, or is there a name that I didn't mention?
Yeah, I hope I can bring some clarity. I think it's definitely Diaz is the best choice amongst him and Warren. He just strikes out a lot more batters. He's been way more successful, more than 6 runs better in ERA, which is pretty hard to do. But they have a lot of options back there. I wouldn't say any of them are that great. I think a couple guys I'd be looking for going forward is Jeff Hoffman. Jeff Hoffman's been really good so far this year. He's one of those guys who converted from being a starter. He's a guy who can go multiple innings, but I don't think anybody's really looking at him right now. He seems to be one of the guys that you can actually trust in the bullpen over there, along with Diaz. And then maybe Joel Kunal, who's another righty. They literally have no lefties in their bullpen. One lefty, Ross Detweiler. But Kunal's been pretty good so far this year. He's got a sub-1 ERA, and he's got a 35% strikeout rate, and that's across 9 1/3 innings. So he doesn't have a huge sample size, but if he keeps that up, I think he could run up to that closer role and steal it from Diaz and Warren. Like Rick was saying, they also have a lot of closer guys on roster resource. They have 4 guys in the committee, including Hunter Strickland and Tony Santion. And I don't think those guys are too overpowering. They're not guys that are going to force your hand into being like, oh man, those guys are so good, I got to pick them up. But if Kunal continues what he's been doing, he throws in the mid-90s, which is not what you're looking for in the bullpen. You like those guys like Gratterall that can touch 100, but the fact that he's been striking out so many guys so far is really good. But I think right now you got to go with Alexis Diaz. He's got the bloodlines, as I think he's Edwin Diaz's brother or cousin, something like that. I would side with Diaz, but considering how good the Reds have been this year, which is not good at all, I would try to stay away from this bullpen. But yeah, if you're looking for dark horse, I think it's Hoffman would be my favorite here, just because they've trusted him with holds recently. He just got one a couple days ago. So Hoffman, but stick with Diaz right now. I don't think Art Warren is the guy that you want on your team.
Rick, anything else to add with Cincinnati? Do you have a dark horse you want to bring to the table for Cincinnati, or like Jake says, Cincinnati, we should really stop talking about it?
No, he pretty much nailed it there with I like the Kunal, you know, dark horse candidate. He's kind of, it's only been 9.1 innings, but he's looked the best out of this whole bullpen outside of maybe Alexis Diaz. And Jeff Hoffman, I thought he would work out as a reliever, and he's having a really good season, better than I actually had thought. So it's funny how those are like their 3 best relievers, yet they're like just stuck on Art Warren and Hunter Strickland. And I'm watching the game right now. Tony Santillan is in for the save right now. So like they're stuck on those 3 guys and not Diaz, Kunal, and Hoffman, who have been pitching the best. So just shows, I don't know, it's another gripe I have with the Reds and how they do things, but yeah, I think Alexis Diaz has earned a shot. He should probably get the shot, get a chance before any of these other guys. But here we are with Tony Santillan in for the save.
Reds are going to red and continue to confuse. And by the time we get to next week, we'll say, oh, wait, Santillan got a save, Diaz got a save, and one other guy got a save. But that would also involve the Reds winning games. So maybe I'm getting ahead of myself there. But before we wrap up segment, that covers the teams we want to get to. We're going to give you each one more guy, one other deep, dark horse sort of name that you're keeping an eye on either teams that we have mentioned or another dark horse from outside of these teams. We'll start with you, Rick. Who is one of your final dark horses you want to bring up here as we wrap up the show?
I guess I'll go with Colorado, just because no one really wants to talk about Colorado, and it's understandable because it's tough to roster pitchers there. But if they, you know, Daniel Brard's definitely another one of these closers who could be traded at the deadline. So who takes over there? And they brought in Alex Colome. That is not, you know, talked about Colome enough that I think I'm good there. I'm all set. Carlos Estevez, not very good either. Robert Stevenson, I really was a big fan of, but he struggled this year. So I'm thinking Tyler Kinley in Colorado might be someone to start looking at for potential saves, you know, from July, August on.
And Jake, who's your favorite name that we didn't mention on this segment that you want to try and bring to our listeners' attention before we wrap up?
I hate to say this, but as somebody that owns Ryan Pressly in multiple fantasy leagues, but I think you got to take a look at the Astros bullpen. Pressly's skills have definitely dropped off a lot this year, and the Astros have tons of options at the back end of that bullpen. Obviously, you got Rafael Montero and Hector Neris, who have been guys that have gotten saves in the past and have been closers for other teams as well. But I think one guy you got to look at is Ryan Stanek. He's been just killing it so far this year, 1.13 ERA and a not too great 21.3% strikeout rate, but obviously when you're throwing the ball at an average of 98.9 miles per hour on the four seamer, you should be expected to strike out more guys. So I think that's one guy to watch out for. Another guy I like in that bullpen is Brian Abreu. I don't think he's going to be a closer at any point this year, especially, but he's somebody who I've really liked this year, especially in saves plus hold leagues or those leagues where you need multi-inning relievers that can sort of help take the weight off of your starters. If you're in one of those leagues where you have your games started limited, and I'm in a couple of those leagues. So I think Brian Abreu is somebody to look at there. He's striking out 33% of batters, and he really doesn't walk anybody. He goes multiple innings quite often. He throws 98 miles per hour. So I think he's somebody, especially in a dynasty league, maybe a super deep one, is a guy that you'd want to look at as somebody who could be the closer in a couple years or so. I know Pressly just got extended in the offseason, so he's still got a couple more years there. But I would definitely keep an eye on that situation there. I don't think Pressly has a very long leash as somebody that's being paid a lot and has been the closer for the last couple of years, but they have so many options there that have been doing so well. Like Rafael Montero has a 0.46 ERA somehow on the season, so that's really incredible. They have a lot of guys there, but maybe it's one of those situations where you don't want where the Astros don't want the best guy in the closer role. You know, you want just a guy who's pretty solid, and then you have the rest of your guys pitching high leverage situation. So maybe that's how that'll end up. But if Pressly keeps falling off, I could see if they want to stick with that plan, they could put Stanek back there and have Montero continue to be the high leverage guy. But yeah, definitely keep an eye on Brian Abreu, Stanek, and make sure Presley's still performing well.
All good names to keep an eye on in your leagues throughout this. You know, we want to get you some guys to monitor, whether it's stashing him right now for your holds, whether it's holding on to him in hopes of a closer swap in certain places. There's definitely some names that you want to keep an eye on moving forward. But we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with some of the things we're keeping an eye on within this next week of Major League Baseball. Rick, we'll start with you. What's one or two things you're trying to monitor over next week to continue to get that advantage in your saves and holds?
Yeah, definitely want to, you know, see how things play out in St. Louis. We talked about it earlier, but seeing, you know, what type of usage Helsley and Gallegos get, and yeah, and if maybe Helsley's, you know, able to pitch back-to-back days would be something to keep an eye on as well. You know, the other closer situations, like in Boston and Cincinnati, Miami, obviously situations to look at. Yeah, I had... There was another one. I'm trying to think of what it was, but yeah, that's pretty much what I got.
Jake, what are you keeping an eye on over the next week?
I think the two bullpens that you definitely want to keep an eye on, or that I will be keeping an eye on, are the Phillies, seeing if Knable can bounce back from a few rough performances, and if Dominguez really is the next guy up there. And also the Red Sox, obviously, I've been watching that all year. I think they're a good team, so they will have save chances, but I'm just going to stay away until somebody like makes themselves clear, announces themselves as the closer. But I also want to keep an eye on the Tigers, where Gregory Soto has been successful this year. He just takes a long time to get his saves down. He doesn't really have the best control, and they have guys that have experience in the role. I like Andrew Chafin. They have other guys like Alex Lang and Will Vess, yes, who have been pretty solid. I know Will Vess is injured, but I think he just returned. They've got Michael Fulmer as well. So I think you could see something changing hands in probably not in the next week there, but I think that's one to keep an eye on going forward. But definitely the Phillies and the Braves, or the Red Sox, are ones to keep a very close eye on. Magnifying glass, some might say.
I'm keeping my eye on out in Florida. I want to see in Tampa Bay, does somebody emerge? We mentioned a few times FireEisen, Poche have been the guys who've been getting the saves so far. Does someone else emerge? And then going forward, if Kittredge does come back, I haven't seen exactly a timetable back on him, but if he comes back, does he regain the job full front? Does there become more of a committee? I want to keep monitoring on this. And then, as always, like we said, there's six guys who are on roster resource to get saves in Miami. Can someone emerge out there? Can we finally stop talking about them, or at least talk about them a little bit less? Probably not, but I want to see if someone can emerge out there and close out those committees. But that's going to wrap it up here on this episode of In the Pen. As always, like, comment, subscribe on Apple Podcasts and all your podcast platforms. Come follow us on Twitter. Communicate with us. You know, tell us what you like, what you don't like. Jake, once again, plug some of your work and where we can find you on Twitter if they want to get some more of your bullpen talks and some of your other talks in the baseball industry.
Mm-hmm. Once again, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Super pumped to have concluded my first time on a pitcherless podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler. You can find my work at theathleteshub.org and also on Pitcherless, and soon to be on Baseball HQ. I'll be coming out with a couple articles this week on the Athletes Hub, and I just recorded a podcast yesterday. So you can find a lot of stuff there, or go on crumplerbaseball.com. Got all of my work there. So yeah, once again, thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And Rick, feel free to, as always, plug some of the stuff you're working on and where we can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at I am Rick Graham, and you know, just still doing reliever ranks every week. Closing time on Tuesdays, hold up on Thursdays, and saves plus holds on Fridays. And just we plugged it at the beginning, but you know, keep checking out our reliever ranks article every day. It comes out every morning by 10 a.m. Eastern time. So always check that out. Jake is part of the team, does a great job with it. So yeah, it's great to look at, you know, after morning coffee or whatnot, and just get your reliever fill for the day.
Yeah, and Jake, I'm sure you'll be back on at some point. If it goes as well as it yes, did this week, you'll be back on this podcast or other podcasts within the network very soon. You've got a resume longer than longer than me, for sure, in this baseball industry. So I definitely will be happy to have you on, and I'm sure you'll get some more excitement within the other podcast. But that's going to wrap us up for In the Pen. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week.